esteemed counselor to my left and your right will explain to you how we conduct our meetings and how we require you to conduct yourselves. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the direction of the chairman. If you have a cell phone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and any of its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesman or attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate any testimony for anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Also, individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2085, Land and Marketing Corporation.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 4.16 acres, more or less. The property is located on the northeast side of Sandy Cove Road, approximately 472 feet north of Cedar Neck Road, and on the northwest side of Cedar Neck Road, approximately 764 feet north of Sandy Cove Road. The 901 address is not available. It is in the town in the area of Millville. The tax map is District 134, Map 9, Parcel 80.06, and a portion of 80.01. Staff would note we received comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and they noted some items regarding capacity for sewer. Received comments regarding from the Sussex Conservation District. We received comments from DLDOT from the service level stating that a TIS is not required. Received comments from the PLUS and the applicant's response to the PLUS comments. There was also a staff exhibit a staff analysis, a site plan, and an exhibit booklet. We've also received one letter in opposition from Diane Monholland, and then they expressed their concern as opposition to the proposed multifamily structures located between Sandy Cove Road and Cedar Neck Road. They oppose building of any type of housing on the property because they believe Sussex County is becoming too densely populated. It seems every green space in the county is being developed, and the county has done nothing regarding the infrastructure to support increased population. The roads leading to the site are single lane and very congested. They also have concerns about the environmental impacts on the area. Were there any studies done? Since the majority of homes bordering on the property have wells, will the construction have any adverse impact to those wells? They also understand there'll be a retention pond and what the effects of the water runoff will have to those wells. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cornwell. Is there anyone here representing this application? Mr. Clark.
Thank you. For the record, my name is this on?
Excuse me.
For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a licensed landscape architect in the state of Delaware with the firm of Land Tech Land Planning. With me here this evening is Robert Harris. He's president of Land and Marketing Corporation, and Mr. Harris has appeared many times before this commission and is recognized as an experienced professional real estate developer in coastal Sussex County. A booklet has been prepared in advance of this public hearing, and if each of you have this book, and I'll be referring to that in the course of my presentation. And tab 11 in that book includes a partial list of successful projects that Mr. Harris has developed over a span of time, in this list at least, beginning in 1986. In the booklet are also copies of the conditional use application, supporting documents including an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. The PLUS report and my comments are in that book. Sussex Code Chapter 99.9 considerations are there, in addition to letters, maps, and plans. I want to advance the... Not that way. There we go. This is a copy of the boundary and topographic survey of the property. North is to the top of the plan. Janelle said, the Solid Air site is a 4.16-acre property, and it's comprised of three abutting tracts of land on three separate tax parcels north of the town of Ocean View in an area known locally as Cedar Neck. The property shown here outlined in the dark blue line is mostly undeveloped and is an interior parcel of land surrounded by existing single-family dwellings fronting on Cedar Neck Road to the east, Sandy Cove Road to the south, and the private subdivision streets of Cedarville to the north and Cedar Crest to the west. The rear yards of those existing homes surrounding the Salt Air site are all oriented toward the Salt Air property. There is one existing residence and some storage buildings currently on the property. The land, as you can see, if you can see the topographic part of the survey, is gently sloping from Cedar Neck Road at an elevation of about 14 feet above sea level toward the southwest and Sandy Cove Road. It falls about 8 feet across the site, draining towards where the home is on the property and across Sandy Cove Road. The survey also shows that there are existing public water service mains in both Sandy Cove Road and Cedar Neck Road. And there is a water service main owned by the Sussex Shores Water Company, also in Sandy Cove Road. So in tab 5 is the PLUS review and my comments. And the Salt Air actually was reviewed by state agency planners in December of 2016. And I'm just going to run through a few highlights of that review that are found in tab 5. The site is in investment level 3, where growth is anticipated. The Salt Air project will require site access be designed and built in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. And as stated earlier, a traffic impact study is not required, and further, DLDOT will not require a traffic operations analysis. Public right-of-way dedication along both Sandy Cove Road and Cedar Neck Road will be required. A permanent sign easement will be required by DLDOT for the community name signage at the entrance along Sandy Cove Road. Permanent easements will be required by DLDOT along Sandy Cove Road and Cedar Neck Road. DENREC reminded us that if dewatering well permits may be required, a detailed sediment stormwater plan will be required, and the developer must comply with all applicable air quality requirements. And in that report, it stated that there are no known archaeological sites or National Register listed properties on this tract. In tab 7, you'll find conditional use 1752, which is also was approved as ordinance number 1946. This tract of land was previously recommended for approval by Sussex County Planning and Zoning and the County Council as a 16-unit multifamily attached dwellings community with conditions. And that prior approval has since lapsed. This project lies within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. Therefore, the next part of my presentation, I'm going to address those code issues that are to be considered for development in that overlay zone. Access into the planned community. Actually, I'm going to move to the next slide if I can. This is the proposed land use plan. Access into the planned community is from Sandy Cove Road. Stated earlier, it's about 675 feet from that intersection of Sandy Cove and Cedar Neck Road. 16 of the 19 homes, as you can see on the plan, the detached residents are arranged around a central stormwater infiltration facility that will also serve as a grassy, passive open space area for the entire community. Second stormwater facility is planned at the gateway to the site, again near the Sandy Cove entrance. The multifamily zoning code definition requires that buildings not exceed a maximum length of 165 feet. In this planned site, the individual dwellings are each separated by a distance of 15 feet, so they're not attached, they're detached, and in clusters of four homes each within that 165-foot building envelope. Each home measures 30 foot by 40 foot, of course, resulting in a 1,200 square foot building envelope, and all of the proposed salt air homes are two-story. Can I advance to the next slide real quick? That's a picture of a sample home from one of Mr. Harris's other developments. He's going to employ the same architecture here. And in tab 12 of your books, there are architectural floor plans and building elevations of these same proposed homes. If I can go back to the site plan, please. The allowable multifamily density in a GR district is 12 dwellings per acre. Therefore, the maximum allowable density on this site is 49 homes. In this case, the application proposes 19 dwellings. All buildings on this site plan are sited to exceed the GR front, rear, and side yard setback requirements. In this particular plan that we propose, the rear and side yards are shown at a minimum of 20 feet where 10 foot is required. And in those areas along the site, along the perimeter of the property where no existing vegetation currently exists, we propose a continuous 10 foot wide landscape buffer. Each of the detached homes is provided with two off-street parking spaces, and as illustrated by the green line on the plans, every effort's been made in the siting of homes to drives and stormwater facilities to preserve the existing mature vegetation on the property. Salt air will be served with the existing public wastewater from Sussex County and existing potable and fire protection water service from the Sussex Shores Water Company. New site landscaping around the homes and open spaces will include trees and shrubs that are native to coastal Sussex and Cedar Neck, and pedestrian scale street lighting is also proposed. Residential solid waste, garbage, and recycled materials will be managed on an individual residence basis. There will be no dumpsters or large trash enclosures anywhere on the site. The entire community will be governed as a condominium regime, with all residences owned individually. Therefore, all the open space, drives, landscaping, and stormwater facilities will be maintained with the collective funds from 19 homeowners. As to stormwater drainage, salt air will utilize green technology best management practices as required by DENREC, including such practices as bioretention, managed infiltration, bioswales, and filter strips. Site grading will direct the stormwater from the pavements and rooftops into the infiltration facility, which is the central facility where the homes are clustered around it. And then the higher elevation is draining into the detention facility at the lower end of the site. The stormwater infiltration facility is a large, shallow depression that will remain dry much of the time and be usable as community open space. There's a more detailed explanation of stormwater, of the science associated with all that, to be found in the booklet. Stormwater systems designed under DENREC regulations will ensure there are no negative impacts to existing individual wells or adjacent lots. As to potable and fire protection water, in tab 9 of the book, there is a letter from the Sussex Shores Water Company expressing their ability and willingness to serve. As to wastewater collection, transmission, and treatment, the Salt Air Project lies within the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The plan is to use an existing manhole connection point in Sandy Cove Road, which is right next to the entrance. That will serve the entire community by gravity. Now, the allocated equivalent dwelling units or EDU capacity to these tax parcels by Sussex County is 15 EDUs. Correspondence from John Ashman from the County Engineer's Office included in tab 9 states there are no capacity issues for, at that time, the plan was for 22 proposed dwellings, not 19. So therefore, this application, and I guess it's found in the letter that Janelle referred to in her introduction, a use of existing infrastructure agreement with Sussex County will be required, and in that agreement, the developer will purchase four additional EDUs from Sussex County. No on-site wastewater systems of any sort are proposed, and so there will be no negative impact to groundwater or wells. As to traffic impact, DLDOT has concluded there's no need to perform any impact studies, and again, the letter to that effect is found in tab 8. As to rare, threatened, and endangered species, tidal and non-tidal wetlands, there are no known endangered species on the property or any federal or state of Delaware jurisdictional wetlands on the site. Using the definition of open space, it's found in the zoning code as it applies to this land use. So the result is 1.68 acres of passive recreation, about a half an acre of buffers, 0.17 acres of ponds, which total 2.36 acres, defined as open space. When you compare that to the total site area of 4.16, the percent open space by definition is 57%, 5-7. Public and private infrastructure needed to serve the Salt Air project currently exists in adequate capacities to accommodate the entire development. Those include sewer, water, telephone, CATV, internet service, and of course Sandy Cove Road is a public roadway. As I said earlier, correspondence from the State Historic Preservation Office in the PLUS report state there are no known historic resources, so there's no impact to historic or cultural resources. And as to comprehensive plan conformance, Salt Air is clearly well suited for development. As stated earlier, the property is situated within the growth area, and more specifically, the environmentally sensitive development district is mapped on the future land use plan. All community services and infrastructure are existing and adequate. The proposed land use protects and safeguards the environment in many important ways, including a highly regulated stormwater management system, existing water and sewer utilities providing ample open space and no impacts to wetlands or protected species. No mass grading or change in the general elevation of the site is proposed, especially with regard to existing mature vegetation as it's shown on the plan. All construction will conform to FEMA requirements as to minimum base flood elevation. All new housing proposed is average size and sales price for the resort marketplace and of comparable scale to other similar new development in the area. Salt Air is a continuation of the single family detached theme of development in the immediate area and the effect of 19 new permanent and second home residences on this property will have a negligible effect on the area property values, public buildings, community facilities, or schools. The site is located in investment level 3 under the state or strategies for state policies and spending plan. And like levels 1 and 2 is an area where state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities and promote a broader mix of housing types, encouraging compact mixed-use developments where applicable. The Salt Air development conforms to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan and the State Strategies Plan. So that concludes my presentation. Make myself available, and Mr. Harris, to answer any questions.
Yeah, we'll stand fast, and we'll see if any commissioners have any questions. We'll start with Mr. Hudson.
Yes, sir. I'm looking at your big plan here, where you have the to the far left the open space and says here detention pond.
Yes, sir.
Is that now where an existing house is?
It's close. The house is more in the center of the site where the. There we go. Part of the house is there, correct.
And that, okay, so that house will remain there? Or
it will not.
Be gone? Okay, that's my, you're going to get rid of that? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will.
Okay, and the road width I know this is 25 feet here going in from on Sandy Cove Road.
All of the interior driveways are 25 feet wide.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wheatley?
No questions.
Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Mrs. Hoey Stevenson?
Okay. There is no recreational other amenities in this development, just walk around the pond?
Well, again, because of its setting on the site, it'll be dry most of the time. This is a well-drained area, so immediately after a storm it might be wet, won't be standing water. Now, the opposite is true for the one at the entrance, the long narrow one. So that area in the center of the site is available. It's a sizable area, is available to walk your dog or throw a frisbee or do whatever you do in that space. Typically, at least in our experience with a community of 19 residents, anything more ambitious like a pool or tennis court is a burden to them to maintain and keep. So until you get into residential communities that are dozens of homes or approaching 100, it's difficult for them to afford that.
What made you decide to go from the 2004 plan you had before?
It wasn't my plan.
Oh, okay.
I think the plan that was adopted earlier was adopted just prior to a downturn in the economy, and so it's just a timing thing.
Okay.
Same owner, different plan, different design.
Okay. This is my bailiwick, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure it's the rest of the commission's. I'm into interconnectivity and into making sure there's more than one way for emergency vehicles and things to get to places. I see you have access to another road. Would you be able or willing to put in an emergency road in case an ambulance or something had to get in a back way because the front entrance couldn't work?
Well, there's 20 feet. Actually, there's almost 30 feet between Unit 9 and the property line.
Mm-hmm.
It is a direct connection, and there's nothing growing there. So I guess we'd have to coordinate that with the emergency folks to see what their opinion was, but certainly entertain that idea.
That's just one of the things that if I were going to approve this, I want to make sure that we can be as safe as possible for
certainly
the residents
certainly
of Sussex
appreciate
County.
That.
That's all my questions. Thank you.
I'm not so sure if we can make that a condition, Mrs. Hoey Stevenson, because they would have to get DLDOT approval, one, for that second entrance, and DLDOT is not always too friendly about having two entrances, so I'm not so sure, that would be a good condition or not. We'd have to think about
that. I was thinking a gravel road with a gate that is only there for emergencies.
Yeah, but, Mr. Clark, you're saying you're friendly to discussing that with DLDOT and seeing if that would work out?
We can raise the issue. Our hope is that would become a pedestrian connection for the park. The county parkland is just a stone's throw from here. Now, at some point in the future, DLDOT may improve a bike lane from this site, moving towards the dead end and the park site.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great pedestrian link. I can tell you that the emergency folks are not a big fan of gates.
Yeah, I understand that, but I know that people are also not big fans of having back roads that people can drive into their property.
I'd be happy to speak to them and see. certain options are always good when emergencies are at hand, so I appreciate that.
Were there sidewalks included in this plan?
There are no sidewalks in our thinking here. Again, there's 19 homes. The driveways are 25 feet. For that amount of residents, we think that the automobiles and the pedestrians can share that comfortably. If the commission felt strongly about it, we could stripe the 5 foot and make it really obvious that there's a 5 foot strip dedicated to pedestrians. But we are in an environmentally sensitive overlay zone. We've tried to minimize as much pavement as we can. And again, I think 25 feet in a subdivision, the streets are typically 20 feet. So here we have an extra bit of pavement. Hopefully, the pedestrians would use that.
Okay. Ms. Walls, do you have any questions?
None for me, thank you.
Ms. Corwell?
None, thank you.
Ms. Sharp?
I guess just one, to the point about emergency services, has there been any discussions with the fire marshal about cul-de-sacs or anything like that? Because there appears to be a couple dead-end streets there.
Well, these meet the fire marshal's requirements. You can't have a dead-end longer than 300 feet, and we don't. You have to have a turnaround at each end, which we do. So these actually meet their turnaround requirements as they're in their regulations.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Clark, take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would speak in favor of conditional use number 2085? In favor. Anyone like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2085? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Come forward, please. You have to state your name for the record.
Bruce Ward, 34855 Clover Lane. I live on Clover Lane, which is adjacent to the properties. I also have a letter from Diane Mohan, and she's on vacation, that she submitted a letter previously. This is like a follow-up.
Okay.
Now, a lot of my questions were answered tonight in his presentation. Couple things I would like to know. They showed a presentation of a building, looked like it had parking underneath. I looked at the plans, they might be preliminary, but there's no shadow boxing. So anybody's going to use storage under their facility, which is, they have 7.5 foot side yards, 10 foot backyards. There's nothing blocking the views. I live at number 5, so the headlights coming in from their proposed entrance with all your pilings 8 foot high, I'm going to get a lot of light. Now, they did say they're going to put a buffer in. I don't know how high. Am I going to be one, if I have a problem, I'm going to have to put up my own fence? We have approximately 500 feet of all the property owners on Clover Lane that I'm sure we could work something out, but just to get this headlight view that everything on stilts, you're going to see everything. So if we can take care of that, there's really not that much of a problem. There is with their one retention pond on Sandy Cove Road that has been known to flood. During the winter, fire department had to access people down the street. There's that facility might hold the water, but that does drop a lot of water there. Does a high tide does come back up through there once in a while. Is it a floodplain? But they seem that, like I say, they got their in check. It would be nice if they possibly, because there wasn't names on before, Point Eyes Lane, and is that Preston Lane? If you made that a connecting loop, then it would be, you could drive around in a circle instead of having a dead end where people going up and stop. Traffic flow one way, but it could connect it, then it would take out that question. That's really all I had to say about it.
Just to be clear, you're asking for a privacy fence of some kind on a northerly boundary?
Yes. They say 10-foot buffer. Now, on what vegetation, that could be a 3-foot hedgerow. That's not going to take.
It could be zero.
It could be a grass lot, in which case I'll end up putting an 8-foot vinyl fence across my yard, and you'll have one property with 8-foot fence. So you have 500 foot of fence that won't match. Come together, we'll have something that will all look adequate. Okay. The whole area there, everybody has a pretty good property line of trees shaded in, except 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We're just kind of open, we're left out in there. Most of our houses sit 60 feet back from the property lines. Actually, on my property, I have a 30 by 40 pole barn down in the corner, so it's kind of a trade-off. By pole barns the same size as their house, except it sits on the ground, you can't see through it. But, definitely.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Clark, would you be receptive to putting a privacy fence along that northern boundary?
Well, one of the requirements I'm sure you're going to place on the application is that we bring a landscaping plan back to you if this is approved this evening. And I would invite the gentleman to come back and look at the landscaping plan. We're going to follow the landscaping definition as it's in the subdivision ordinance. And those are plants of some size and they're screening. And so we would prefer to have a natural barrier there to prevent a visual barrier as opposed to putting up a fence that's a maintenance hassle. But we would prefer a 10-foot planting buffer, and we'll explain that in some detail when we come back to you.
With the landscape plan?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clark. Anyone else opposed? Yes, ma'am? young lady that came up before. Yeah. Come on back. It's your time now.
Oh. All right. I'm Jean Coggins, live on Sandy Cove Road. And this development is kind of across the street and down the street a little bit from me. But as has been said, this is the second time they tried to do a development there. My looking at the plan, I went down to the Office of Zoning and Planning and looked, got a lot of information out. One thing that bothered me that I didn't hear mentioned, and it could have been the speaker, the system here, but what...
Ma'am, you have to... Ma'am, Ms. Coggins?
I'm sorry. How much footage is it between the houses?
I'll ask him that question when you get done, okay?
Okay. Because what I read of the information that I got from the office downstairs is 10 feet between the houses. That's not a whole lot of space between houses. And a 10-foot setback in the back, 30 feet in the front.
These are code issues, ma'am. These are required in code and they're stipulated in code. The distance between houses are fire marshal code, but I'll ask him about that to make sure it conforms.
And Mr. Ross, just looking at the map in front of us, it does appear it's 15 feet on there showing between the
between units. The houses?
Yeah.
And then fire marshal is minimum of 10, so they exceed that.
Okay. The like I said, the parking is not illustrated on their map. And DelDOT, I have yet to hear DelDOT ever come back and for when it's a development that it has no impact. That is their common thing. I looked at DelDOT sent back, and it was sent back in December. And I wondered if any of these things have ever been done in August or July or June, when the impact is more so than in the wintertime. And where were those studies done? Were they done here in this area, you know, under the circumstances you're looking at right now? What was it? Oh, and we have, in that area, we have a great number of roads that go off to nowhere. They're dead-end roads. And they start down at the intersection where the red light is, where Fred Hudson Road comes in. And from there on out to Quillen's Point, all the roads going off this way are dead ends. You can't get anywhere. And as I said before, when I spoke against another development there, if you have an unsuspected or unpredicted weather forecast, some tragedy, nobody's going to get out of there. There's just no way in God's green earth. And this many people in down, and where you had that down beyond where this development is spoken to be going is a development, a high rise down along the beach. I forget what the name of it is. And Bayshore, which is a big campground. You know, so there's a lot of people out there in the summertime. And some of these people now are moved, like me, moved down for the rest of their lives. I lived in Pennsylvania for all my life, and 20 years ago I moved down here, and I'm still here. And, you know, I like it. I think it's been great. But packing them in like sardines is not the way to continue having your people, you know, respect you and take care of their things. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get to, well, who cares? You know, and dead-end roads, and I guess, the dead-end roads and it all goes all the way up to Quillen's Point, which is a whole large group of very lovely homes, and the VFW up there at the end, you know. So anybody got a boat that don't want, give it to me, because I want to have it ready when the big storm comes and y'all don't know about it. I thank you. I apologize for coming up too early. I thank you for your
You're
help.
Just fine. Thank you, ma'am.
And think about it.
Thank you, Ms. Coggins. I assure you that the DLDOT requirements and traffic are done by DLDOT specifications. The applicants approach DLDOT. They tell them how to calculate and when to do it, when they do their studies and numbers, and it's all done by DLDOT specifications. Who's next? Who wants to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Leanne Britton, and that was my mom. We lived together on Sandy Cove Road. Last Saturday night, I'm going to talk about the traffic on Sandy Cove Road. Last Saturday night, I sat in my living room, and I counted 70 cars went up the road and down the road in 1.5 hours. And that, I will swear it on the Bible with that. And they're proposing that this road's going to come out on Sandy Cove Road. They start at Cedar Neck Road, and they go down that road. I think they try to make it 50 miles an hour by the time they hit the curve. These people are not going to be able to come out at all with this the road the way it is. It is a single lane, and I'm saying the traffic is horrendous. And like you said, I would love to see another access if they go out to Cedar Neck Road, because coming out on Sandy Cove Road, somebody's going to get hit. And I sit there and I can watch them start at the corner, and you hear them go, and there to go, 50 miles an hour, and it's 35. And I'm going to do something. I am going to go somewhere to see if I can get something. I've even talked to a state police, and I said, please come sit in my driveway. Sit in my driveway and get these guys that go down the road like that. But that is my main concern, is traffic coming out there, and there's no place else to go. If they could make an access onto Cedar Neck Road, that would be ideal. But somebody's going to get hurt, I know, coming down on Sandy Cove Road. So that's it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Going once? Twice? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to close the public hearing. You're delighted to stay with us this evening, or you can call the office in the morning and see if we make a decision.
Thank you.
Our next public